Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Matt, and I'm the pastor here, and one of the pastors, but I get to be preaching to you today, so I'm super excited about that. Here's some scriptures that frame our conversation today, and we're talking about a subject that is very important to me, and you'll see why soon, but here's a couple of verses that frame our time together. The first one is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13, and it says this, "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who gets understanding." Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, it says this, "The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her." Psalms chapter 111, verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever." And God, as we come to you this morning, God, I pray that you would reveal to us what it looks like to be people who pursue wisdom. God, that your word would challenge us today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for how you convict us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for how you empower us. And God, we come to church today to be transformed and renewed. We want to leave this place differently than when we arrived. And God, I pray that something supernatural would happen in our hearts today, that our minds and our hearts would be transformed to be more like your heart, more like your mind. So God, I pray that this wisdom would start to wash over us, that we would walk out of this place just maybe 1% more wise than we were when we showed up. Amen. As I said earlier, it's November, which is just wild. It seems like summer was just happening. Polly had soccer yesterday, which is an adventure. Every time for the soccer game, I lather up in sunblock. That doesn't happen in the Northwest where my family lives. It's November the 2nd, and I'm lathering up with 50 SPF sunblock everywhere because I'll just fry in the sun. I've learned that LA has two seasons. It is summer and almost summer. It's pretty much the two seasons of LA. What season is it? That's almost summer. That's the season it is. It's summer or almost summer. Now that we are wrapping up a year, so it is 2018, correct? And this year is coming to a close. We got two more months. That's about eight more weeks of 2018. Isn't that wild? And I started thinking about my last 10 months of life. And I started to evaluate some of the goals and the dreams that I had for my 2018. You probably had some goals and dreams for your 2018. Some of them have been realized. Some of them you forgot about. Today's message is about reminding us about an ambition that I have for my life. And I think you should steal my ambition because you're going to see that I actually stole this ambition too. I had lots of goals and dreams for this year, but one of them, and it's a standing ambition of mine, it's an ambition and it's a dream I have every single year, is that I hope to have more wisdom at the end of this year than I did at the start of this year. I hope to have more wisdom at the end of 2018 than when I started 2018. And I think this is actually a really smart desire. In 2 Chronicles, we learn about this guy named Solomon. Solomon did everything he could to please and be obedient to God. Solomon did everything he could to do what God had called him to. And Solomon undertakes the task of rebuilding the temple and reinstituting worship the way God had wanted it. And God comes to Solomon after he's done all this stuff, and he asks him a really important question. This is where we pick up the story in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7. "In that night," so this is after Solomon did all this stuff, and he had this great big worship service. "In that night, God appeared to Solomon, and he said to him, 'Ask what I shall give you.'" Wouldn't it be nice if God just said that to you one day? Like just at the end of the day, God just says, "This is God." I don't know what God sounds like to you, but that's how he sounds to me. Actually, sounds like Sean Connery to me, but he says, "What shall I give you?" You know, and this is what Solomon said. And would you think for a second, if you could ask God, and if God said to you, "What shall I give you?" What would you say? $1 million, new home. Well, all things you would want God to give you. But this is what Solomon said. Solomon said to God, "You have shown great and steadfast love to David, my father, and have made me king in this place. Oh Lord God, let your word to David, my father, be now fulfilled. You have made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth." here's my request. Give me now wisdom and knowledge to go out and come in before this people, for who can govern this people of yours, which is so great? Given the opportunity to just kind of like a genie arriving, what would you like for? You get a wish. Solomon asked for simply wisdom and understanding. And he could have asked for anything. He could have asked for riches. He could have asked for influence. He could have asked for whatever he wanted. He asked for wisdom and understanding. So I think that my pursuit of wisdom and understanding, it's in line with a great pursuit. Because it was Solomon who then took pen to paper and wrote the Proverbs, and he wrote so much other literature that is wisdom and it's wise for us today. But Solomon could have asked for anything, but he knew that wisdom would be the best choice. One definition of wisdom is this: a sound application of experience, knowledge, and judgment. That reminds us that wisdom isn't just about what you know, but how you live too. Wisdom isn't just about having a lot of facts in your head. Wisdom is actually the life that you live too. Now imagine someone who's super wise. They've read every book. They know they have all the right answers, but their thought process and their words are wise, but their behavior is stupid. Is that someone you want to be like? No. What we're looking for and what you should be striving for is that your wise words and your wise thought process would be matched with wise behaviors. I mean, because I've known people who talk a lot of talk whose game is pretty horrible. That is me in some ways concerning basketball. I can talk a lot of basketball game, but get me on the court and I'm trouble. And not good trouble, bad trouble. On the sidelines, I can rattle off with the best of them. I know all the lingo. I can make fun of your mom. I can talk trash. I am an excellent trash talker when it comes to basketball. But then when you say, okay, get on the court, I'm like, nah, I'm good. I'm better on the sideline. I can spin a basketball and make fun of you. But then when you try to get me on the court, it's not pretty anymore. In my mind, I can visualize all these great moves. But in actuality, my body and my actions don't line up with my ambitions in my mind. Someone that's wise in thought and in word, but not wise in action and behavior is a fraud. This verse we're going to look at is found in the book of James. I'm in a Bible study with some friends, and we are currently reading through the book of James. And a couple of weeks ago, we read James chapter 3 was the chapter we are discussing. And this whole idea of wisdom, it was rekindled in me as I read this passage, and this is where we're going to be today. It's James chapter 3. I love the book of James. Anybody else love the book of James? Anybody hate the book of James? You're so weird if you do. It may be my favorite book to read in the Bible. This is what the verses were that really reminded me about this pursuit of wisdom. It says this in James chapter 3. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, dare I say demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Today's message is about adding a practice, subtracting a motivation, and changing your perspective. Can everyone say addition? Addition. Can everyone say subtraction? Subtraction. And can everyone say change? Today, I want to talk about those three things, that there is something that you ought to add to your life. There's a conduct. I'm going to invite everyone in this room and everyone who's listening to the podcast all around the world right now. Today, I'm going to invite every single person here to add a new practice to your life. I'm going to challenge you also to subtract something damaging from your life. And I'm going to invite all of us to lift our eyes from the here and now to God, to his wisdom that comes from above. Some of y'all need to stop looking to Facebook for your wisdom. This text, it encourages us to be wise in our conduct, to be mindful of jealousy and selfishness, and reminds us that we should be seeking not your Facebook friend for advice and wisdom, but you should be seeking God for wisdom. Point number one here is this: add wise conduct. And in verse 13, it talks about this adding of wise conduct. In James chapter 3, verse 13, it says this, "By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom." Don't just be wise in what you say, but be wise in your conduct. As I mentioned, this is me playing basketball. This is me talking about lots of sports that I cannot keep up with anymore. I'm really great at talking, lots of talk, but when it comes to practicing it, it's really difficult. Wisdom is a character that each of us can possess. And it can't just be in words and chatter, it's gotta be in your actions too. Verse 13 invites us to have conduct that is wise, behaviors that are wise, that we would have wise action. And for some of us, doing a wise thing means that you need to start doing something different. Now, how crazy is it, right? I'm not gonna look at anybody in the room, but if your finances are upside down and yet you don't even attempt to do anything different regarding your finances, you might be an idiot. I did have one worse than that, I will let you know. The Lord has given me wisdom to not say everything I think. I'm an idiot too, so don't worry. But if your marriage is in trouble and yet you've not ever attempted to do anything different in your marriage, you might be an idiot. If your spiritual life is stagnant and it's just you're just not growing at all spiritually, yet you refuse to try anything different, you're certainly an idiot. You might be an idiot if you haven't tried something different. If your relationships are all volatile and you just have this constant animosity between you and people, but yet you won't do anything different, you might be an idiot. This sounds like a Jeff Foxworthy. You might be a redneck if you might. Yeah, I'm going to preach this again and do that instead, but I will not. The wise among us are those that express their wisdom through their actions. I mean, it's just idiotic to think that doing the same thing is going to change the results in any of those areas of your life. You'll never save any more money if you just keep doing and keep behaving in the same spending pattern. Your marriage will be in the same place. Your relationships will be in the same place unless you choose to simply do something different. And here's what I'm saying. You may choose to do something that makes it worse. But I think be brave and just do something different. Let the Lord figure it out. Just do something different. For example, like if your marriage is in bad shape and you refuse to pray together, you might be an idiot. Like if your marriage is in bad place and you refuse to get counseling, you might be an idiot. Can I just harp on the married people? Because that's fun. You might be an idiot. If you're just not gonna do anything different, but you think the results are gonna be different, you gotta change your conduct a little bit. Something's gotta change. Something's gotta change in order to have a different result than what you've had for the past 10 years. Something has got to change. How about your spiritual life? You don't want to do anything different and you just think that somehow God is miraculously going to elevate you, though you won't put any effort into it? Man, I want a six-pack abs and you got to do something about that. You can't just wish it into being. I've tried. If it was that easy, we'd all have six-pack abs, wouldn't we? I just thunk my abs into being. You can't thunk your abs into being. It takes effort. It takes work. It takes changing your behaviors. It takes not going to Taco Bell. It takes going to the gym instead. No, but you want a six pack and you want Taco Bell and you don't want to go to the gym. It's ridiculous. It's idiotic. If your spiritual life is plateaued and your spiritual life is just flatlined, just simply, I don't even care what it is. Just do something different. Do one thing different. One simple, easy thing. I bet you'll have dramatic results from doing the smallest, maybe seemingly most insignificant thing would have the most dramatic results because you just got to get out of the rut you're in. Yeah. If you can't read a chapter of the Bible every day, just read a word. I dare you. One word. The wise among us are those who express their wisdom, not just through their words, but through their actions too. Think about somebody really wise in your life. The wisest person in your life, they don't tell you what to do. The wisest person in your life, they listen to you. They help draw something that's already inside of you. Because wise people know it doesn't help you at all just to tell them how to behave. You lead them to discover a new behavior. Right? Think about the wisest person in your life. They don't just tell you all that you need A, B, and C. They lead you to discover your own A, B, and C because you own it. And so, they're also the wisest person in your life. They're not just wise because of what they say. You also think they're wise because the life that they live. They have this history of acting with wisdom. Few of us will go to marriage advice to someone with six marriages in their pocket. Unless you want to learn what not to do. If wisdom is expressed through your conduct, this is the question for you. Remember, we're talking about addition right now. We're talking about adding a practice to your life. If wisdom is expressed through your conduct, then what is one wise behavior you could add to your life? Just one. What's one wise practice you could add to your life? The good thing is, if you wanted to become more wise at the end of this year than you were at the start of this year, you've got 8 awesome weeks to grow in wisdom. That's a lot of time to add a new discipline into your life. It really is. I think in 8 weeks, adding one simple practice will have dramatic results. You could finish this year really strong if you really want to. Add one simple practice. What is one thing that you could do, one wise behavior that you could add to your life? Point number two. Now we're talking about subtraction. Subtract distracting motivations. This verse, it talks about jealousy and selfishness. Jealousy and selfishness, they will squash wisdom in your life. Jealousy and selfishness are like kryptonite to wisdom. Jealousy and selfishness and the wisdom that God has for you, they cannot coexist. They just can't be in the same place at the same time. Yeah, I just don't think you can be jealous and selfish and wise like God has called you to be wise all at the same time. You just can't. It just doesn't work that way. It isn't that wise people don't ever feel jealous, and it isn't that wise people don't ever have feelings of selfishness. They just don't wallow in it for as long as the rest of us. One of the wisest things you can do when you identify an unwise motivation is to simply ask yourself, why do I feel that way? Been such a liberating question to me. When I have had feelings of jealousy, when I've had feelings of anxiety, when I've had feelings of worry, when I've had feelings of being of selfishness, when I say, Matt, why do you feel that way right now? That's been a really great question to get under the surface of what's really going on in my life. I don't know if you know this, this year I have joined a pastoral coaching network. So I'm in a group of about 30 pastors. We meet every month, and we have a leader who's the big cheese, and he's a great leader, and he is the one who's facilitating the discussion. He's the one who has the really successful church. He's the really polished, really great pastor in the room, and he is the one that's hosting this pastoral network, and I'm enjoying it a lot. In this pastoral network, I immediately felt really jealous and insecure as soon as I got there. This guy's got great teeth. He's got great hair. He wears really cool skinny jeans. He's like the poster child of like the pastor I've always wanted to be. When I'm in his presence, I immediately felt so insecure. I felt so small when I was around him. I felt so insecure. I felt so jealous. I had facility envy. I had staff envy. No offense, staff. I had hair envy. I had all these envious emotions. I had to stop myself and say, Matt, why do you feel that way? And it had absolutely nothing to do with the man that he was. It had everything to do with my own personal insecurities. And until I dig deep into my own heart to say, why am I feeling these feels right now? I would have just kept on blocking the good things that he wanted to invest into my life. And once I identified those feelings and where they're coming from, I was able to actually start to celebrate the greatness of who this man is. And I was actually able to celebrate the uniqueness of who God has made me to be. See, comparison will rob you of everything in your life. Comparison is such an evil and ugly emotion to feel. When you're comparing yourself to somebody else, it's basically saying to God, you didn't do a very good job. You should have made me like this person. You should have made me like that person. And have you ever been around someone that just makes you feel super insecure? You ever been around someone that makes you feel really small? Oftentimes, you know this, it has nothing to do with who they are. It has everything to do with who you are. And until you find and own your identity in Christ, you're always going to find yourself comparing yourself to other people. These motivations, these things under the surface that dictate our behaviors can be really ugly and brutal things. And unless we uproot them from deep inside of our hearts, they can never get exposed to the truth of who God is and that they can be healed. I used to be around this individual and I would just say, oh my gosh, I have such a hard time being around this person. And it was because this person just brought out all my insecurities. Everything that this person was great at happened to me, my greatest weakness. And when I would stand up next to him, I'd be like, oh, I feel miserable. I would just feel so miserable. And it wasn't until I started digging into the motivations of my heart and trying to discover where is this feeling coming from that I started to be okay with who I really am. And you know what? Now in this pastoral group, I used to feel like I was just a wallflower. I was just trying to blend in. I actually feel like I have something to contribute now because I only feel like I can have something to contribute because I owned who I really am. And for some of us in the room, there are these motivations deep inside your heart that dictate some of your behaviors. And if you just want to keep trying to push down these behaviors, you're going to have a really hard time. You need to get to the root of what's really going on. You need to ask yourself these hard questions. Why do I feel so anxious right now? Instead of just saying, I feel anxious, just say, why do I feel anxious? Where is that coming from? Why do I feel so insecure? Why do I feel so alone right now? Why am I having these waves of worry coming over me? Why? Where are they coming from? Because trust me, if you will do that hard work, you'll be able to uproot something from its roots and actually experience some healing in your life. So some of us need to add a new discipline. Some of us need to subtract a motivation. These motivations that don't come from God will lead you down a very desperate path. And what this scripture teaches us in James is that if we walk in the wisdom of men, we walk into disorder in our lives. Does anybody feel like their life is in disorder? Has your life ever felt like it was in disorder? Just complete upheaval in your life. Likely, your life has felt like it was in disorder because you're leaning not into the wisdom of God, you're leaning into the wisdom of man. That will create disorder every single time. Wise people tend to deal with under the surface issues. Is there something that God would like you to subtract from your life to help you grow in wisdom? Is there an attitude or a pattern that is destructive in your life? All right, there's a lot of them. I can think of just off the top of my head. Fear, jealousy, insecurity, past hurts, worry, offense. All these things will skew the wisdom that God has for your life. The wise thing to do would be to name it, bring it to the light, and ask God to heal that part of you. Point number three. So we've talked about adding a new conduct, adding new behavior. We talked about subtracting a motivation, and now we're going to talk about change. We need to seek God's wisdom. And this is a change for many of us. We all know it's true. We all know we should be seeking God for wisdom, but it's a change in behavior for a lot of us because a lot of us seek wisdom from a whole bunch of other sources, and then we bounce them off God, right? Am I the only one that does that? When I have a big decision to make, I ask everybody that I know around me, and then I go to God with the decision I've made, and I see if it sticks. Then I'm the only one that does that. Maybe you should be the pastor of this church then because I do that. And I know it's wrong and I get caught down and I'm better now than I was years ago. But how many times do we do that? When we have a big decision to make, we put the feelers out to all the people around us. We ask everyone's opinion. And then once we've got a consolidated idea of what the majority of the people in our lives say, then we say, Lord, I need some wisdom for a decision I've made already. Many of us need to make a wise decision, but there are many outlets to pursue. And unfortunately for many of us, God isn't the first one who gets input in our lives. And when it comes to take a decision, we go to everyone, social media, friends, coworkers, and lastly, God is in the picture. That is not how we're supposed to live our lives. We should be people that seek God first. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It doesn't say seek last. After you have sought social media, after you've sought Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and your MySpace, it doesn't say after you've searched all those things, it says seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first. Don't seek last. Don't even seek second. Seek first the kingdom of God. Walking in God's wisdom, it produces a different result than walking in your own wisdom. James says that it produces something better. James says, you and I will be people that elevate our pursuit of wisdom above other things, that it'll actually produce something really good in our lives. And in verse 17, it says this, but the wisdom from a God from above is pure. Wouldn't that be a great word to describe your life? We want that thing for our lives. Pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. I want all these words to describe who I am. And they only come because you seek God first. Do you seek for his wisdom first? Walking in wisdom means adjusting your gaze and fixing your eyes on Jesus. For those of us who like to run in the room, I don't know about you guys, but when I'm going on a long run, you can look at your toes the whole time. You know, you can just stare right at the pavement in front of you and just think, okay, I'm gonna have to do this 6,000 more times. I'll be where I wanna go. What I generally do is I pick an object way in the distance to run to. That's what keeps me focused. I pick something, I lift my eyes up, not just from foot after foot after foot, pounding the pavement. I look ahead and I pick a tree. I pick a person that I wanna pass on my run. I pick something somewhere way far in the distance, and that becomes my new goal. I turn my gaze from the immediate steps to down the road, and I just chase after that thing. And as soon as I get to that thing, I pick a new thing. And then I pick a new thing, and I pick a new thing. I have to keep my eyes and my head up, and it's actually good for your posture too, right? No one wants to run a long run just looking down at the pavement. You'll run into things. You'll run into other people. You'll run off course. For me, I'd fall into the La Bayona Creek if I had to run like that. But I pick something in the distance. And I think for some of us, when it comes to our relationship with God, some of us just need to lift our eyes up. And I think that's actually what worship is for me. Worship for me is sitting here with all y'all and turning my gaze from my here and now and the mess and the things and the problems and the challenges and turning my gaze back to what really, really matters. That's for me what worship is. And if you're only coming to church once a week and you're only experiencing worship once a week, then no wonder come Tuesday you find yourself tripping over yourself because you have shifted your gaze back down to insignificant and things that don't matter as much as the Lord matters in your life. You got to lift your eyes up. Where does your help come from? The maker of heaven and earth. Your help doesn't come from your immediate situation. Your help comes from God. He made it all. He knows it all. And he deserves your attention. When I'm talking to my children, I like them to look me in the eyes. I want to have eye contact with them or else they don't hear me. How isn't that just like you and the Lord too? You need to lift your eyes and make eye contact. Turn your gaze to him and hear his voice. Because if you talk to your kid and they're watching a show, wives, if you talk to your husband and they're watching football, they don't hear a thing. I say, honey, look at what I'm saying. That's what I tell Polly. Look at what I am saying because I need her to make eye contact. She has to lift up her gaze to look at my eyes so that I can tell her the things that she needs to know. How many of us need to lift up our gaze and look back at God and to get the direction that we need to get? Many of us need to change our perspective. We need to seek God first, not last, not even second. One of the best ways that you can grow in wisdom is actually reading the Bible. How about that? One thing that I try to do is, speaking of Solomon, I look at the book of Proverbs. And I don't know if you know this, but the book of Proverbs, there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. And what I do to help me grow in wisdom, and I think this would be a great thing for you to do too, is just take the day of the week it is, today is the 4th, and read Proverbs chapter 4. So you can miss a couple of days. You don't have to feel guilty about it. You may not think about it again until the 14th. And on the 14th, read Proverbs chapter 14. And that's a great way. If you don't know what to read in your Bible, you don't even know where to start, but you know that wisdom is important to you, then that's a great place to start. Because when I read the Proverbs, it's all about wisdom. It's all about helping you understand what it means, what it looks like, and what are the challenges and what's the rewards of living in the wisdom that God has for us. Did you know that wisdom is actually one of the gifts of the Spirit? The gifts of the Spirit are the gifts that God has given us. God has given each of us gifts that we can use to bless other people around us. God would make you and he would give you wisdom, not just so that you can tout your wisdom and have really wise things to say. God has made some of us wise so that we can be a blessing to other people. I want more wise people in my life. And in that regard, James chapter 1, verse 5, you know this, it says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. If you want to be one of those people, one of those brave people that ask God for wisdom, then you also need to be aware that God is going to give you an opportunity to be and act wisely. I think the pursuit of wisdom is a really great pursuit. It's like the pursuit of patience. If you want to become more patient, then you will get yourself stuck in traffic on the 405. And if you want to be more wise, God is going to give you chances to flex your wise muscles. If you want to have wisdom, God is going to give you opportunities to function wisely. The Holy Spirit has changed everything in me, and God has led me into some of the best experiences of my life, and God has led me away from some of the most destructive things I could have ever done. As you process what to add, and as you process what to subtract, and as you process this idea of turning your eyes from the here and now, looking back to God, I think God is going to do something amazing in you. And you have the potential to wrap up 2018 wiser than what you started. I think that's what all of us want. I think all of us want to finish this year rallying for wisdom in our lives. I don't think any of us want to just limp and fall into 2019. I think some of us want to jump into our new year doing some of the most wisest, bravest things we could have ever imagined.